It's Magic at the Movies, and my absolute pleasure to welcome Emily Blunt. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good.
I'm a little bit embarrassed because I've just walked in and you're like, you've matched everything.
You've actually managed to match your watch with your shirt, and you can't see this, everyone, but he's wearing a green and blue and yellow kind of striped shirt. It's a cool shirt. I'm making it sound bad. It's a very cool shirt. But you've actually matched the face of your watch with your shirt. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do with them all.
Not intentional.
No, it really wasn't intentional.
It would be amazing if you had like 40 watches at home and just matched them up to whatever you were wearing. That would be excessive.
Disturbingly, I've got something closer.
How many do you have?
Probably got about 30.
Watches?
Yeah.
God. See, now I don't believe you. Now I absolutely think you matched it up.
It's not true, I promise you. Should we talk about your film?
Yeah, go on.
All right, it's The Young Victoria.
Yes.
And you play Queen Victoria,
I do.
She was a feisty character.
She was, very much, which is exciting, because I think people's perception of her is that she was not that way at all. You know, she's old and sour-faced with a hanky on her head. So we decided to go against the grain, because everything I'd read about her proved to be the opposite of what I had originally thought of when I imagined Queen Victoria.
You imagine the black, don't you?
Yeah, well, what do you do? But she was actually so exuberant and full of life and rebellious and with a horrible temper, and she loved very intensely and then hated very intensely. Like, she was feisty, she was punchy.
She certainly was the two extremes.
She was, very much, yeah.
But when she was in love, she was totally in love.
Totally in love. And, I mean, she absolutely met her match in Albert, and they were really the great love story of monarchy history. And, yeah, he was like her greatest achievement in many ways.
But she didn't want to love him because he was a chosen suitor.
Well, yeah, wouldn't that be the worst if your parents were like, yeah, we found someone really nice for you? I'd be like, no, absolutely not.
You'd have to admit that they were right.
Yeah, I think in this case I would. I mean, I think for her, because she led such a closeted childhood, the thought of someone enforcing a boyfriend upon her was just hell. And so I think she wanted very much to do everything her way. But I think he crept up on her. He took her by surprise.
I was talking to Julian Fellowes, who wrote the film.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know this early part of the story.
Right.
I mean, I assume you must have done some research on it first, but had you known about this beforehand?
No, nothing. I mean, I knew that they had 9 children. I'd heard that they'd had a very beautiful relationship. But I didn't know anything about what she was really like. And the childhood and this very oppressive childhood that she had, where she wasn't given any room to find an identity for herself. She wasn't allowed friends. She wasn't allowed to sleep in her own room. She wasn't allowed to read books. And so she was completely managed and monitored all the time. So I think when she hit 18 and when she got to the throne, she was going to assume her position like no other, because she was out of their clutches.
It's quite funny. She's actually a typical teenager.
Totally. Totally. But unfortunately, she's being teenaged but ruling the country.
Yeah. It's a bit like Kevin and Perry.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I won't. I'm going to my room.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're working with Rupert Friend, who plays
yes.
Albert. And yeah, a great chemistry on screen with you two as well.
Oh, good.
You totally believe
good.
That you know, you two got on.
We did. It was like, we talked about it. It was like meeting someone at a party that you think, oh, you're cool. And it was just so easy with him. He's the best playmate because he's not only tailor-made to play Albert. I mean, there was no one else to play the part. He was perfect, and I knew at the moment he walked in the door when we read together. And but I think we both had a very shared understanding of how we wanted to approach these two, and to really show how two characters can fall in love. And you know, he was just the most supportive, cool guy to work with. And I just saw him now, which was fun.
What did you say to him? Have you not seen him for a while then?
I said something abusive or something rude and then walked out.
That's exactly what I just said. Well done.
Yeah.
You know, when you're filming it, were you actually in the real palaces?
We did. We went to Blenheim Palace. And then we filmed at Ham House. We filmed at Lincoln Cathedral. And there was another palace. But it was these homes of aristocracy, or we filmed at a couple of the palaces.
What was that like to be inside those? I mean,
it is incredible because, and the whole atmosphere on set had a real authenticity to it. But I mean, the people who kind of manage those homes, the people who come in to kind of monitor this, you know, rowdy film crew, it's like a bull in a china shop, like, and I think they were putting hairspray on me one day and this woman was flapping. She was like, the hairspray's going all over the Rembrandts, all over the Rembrandts. So we were like, mostly we had to be outside. There was no food on set, nothing like that. And if you leant on a chair, someone would come and slap your hand away. I mean, it's these things are priceless inside the palaces.
But it shows up on the film so wonderfully.
Yeah.
Outside of work, what do you do to relax?
I read a lot. I see a lot of films.
Do you love films?
I do. I do love going to the cinema, yeah. I love going to the cinema.
Are you a popcorn girl?
Yes. I actually like sweet and salt mixed together.
That's a typical girl thing.
It's so good.
So indecisive.
And then put in some like M&M's or something. No, it's really weird, but trust me, try it. It's really good.
You can take the Brit to Hollywood, but
no, truck driver.
I know you're a fan of magic as well. So
yes,
what sort of music?
Huge
do you like?
Fan. Well, I like I love magic because you play such a kind of broad spectrum of all those classic songs that everyone loves, and you are by far the easiest station to listen to. But I have a kind of eclectic taste. I mean, it just depends on what songs I like. I mean, at the moment, I've kind of gotten more into indie music, the indie American bands, like, I don't know if you'll know them, like Death Cab for Cutie and TV on the Radio and stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. No.
So if you had a secret song.
And Wilco, I love Wilco. But if I had a secret song that I loved.
Yeah, so one that reminds you of something from when you were younger, what would it be?
Do you mean like one that could be a bit embarrassing?
Yeah.
I love Prince songs. I do love Prince madly, madly, madly. I would say like Little Red Corvette or something, or what's the one that Nothing Compares to You is like one of my favourite Prince songs of all time, even though I know he didn't originally do it. But and the Beach Boys, they bring me back because my mum used to play them a lot when we were growing up.
What's the Beach Boys bring back to you? What sort of?
I think Dancing Around in Our Dining Room, because we had Beach Boys records then that we used to play on the big record player.
Back in the good old days.
Back in the good old days.
Well, listen, I'm going to head back to the station now. I'm going to put some Beach Boys on for you.
Please do.
I will, and we'll give you a little dedication.
Please do.
It's just
that
for
would
Emily,
be nice.
Who sat on a sofa somewhere in a hotel.
That would be nice. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
No problem.